Continuing, and we've got two lessons. We would have had one if I'd have been able to do a better job last week on it, but we have two lessons left on, you know, walking on our own two feet, and I'll tell you the topic of the last lesson at the end of this lesson. But, the prior lesson, we were talking about, you know, we just got done with, you know, adding unto, being diligent about it, and I said, well, you know, there's, you know, one more good passage we need to talk about when it comes to adding. And we talked about the fruits of the Spirit and starting those. And I made the point at the beginning that, you know, it's not just a suggestion on this ideal of having fruit, bearing fruit, or the ideal of the fruits of the Spirit. But they are commands. Matthew 7, beginning of verse 16, it says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And I got Owen to read the passage this morning on the vine, and God being the vine dresser and him going to come in and snip and prune. And if we are not the fruit, if we're not bearing the fruit like we're supposed to, we will be removed. And he is talking about judgment, us being judged and seeing what we have done in our life. And when we started talking about this mature Christian that we're talking about and the things that we're adding to ourselves to grow and to be mature and to be able to stand on our own two feet, if we're not able to do that come judgment, if we're not able to show the Lord that we are putting forth that effort, that we are growing, that we're maturing, then I think he's going to snip that vine and throw it in the fire. So we need to understand these are commands to grow. James 3:17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." You know, us being the church, the bride of Christ, you know, his kingdom, and what we show forth, we demonstrate as being Christ-like. You know, we got to put on these good fruits, and we got to demonstrate and show forth good fruits. Philippians 1:11, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." But notice there it says, being filled with. That doesn't mean we just have a partial, you know, of this adding, but being filled, that means filled to the brim. And notice the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. You know, it's really hard for us to say we're Christ-like, to take on the name Christian, if we're not filling ourselves with the fruits of his righteousness. If we're not drawing closer unto him, if we're not becoming more Christ-like. Y'all saw that. That was a pretty good catch, wasn't it? Yeah. My controller went to move my hand and it just flipped and I caught it again. Matthew 3:8 says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And we discussed this verse when we did repentance with the milk of the word. What does repentance mean? And we talked about that U-turn, that complete changing from where we were going. And that is demonstrated in what we do after that, the fruits that we put on. So we talk about, you know, maturing as a child of God. We obeyed the gospel. We're on the milk of the word. We moved up to the meat. And then we're putting forth this fruit. We're growing. And whether we're growing properly or we're not growing, or we're putting on good fruits or we're putting on bad fruits, the bad fruits show that we never did really repent. We never did make that change. We didn't convert. We didn't transform ourselves to something better. So Galatians 5:22-23, and we read this last Sunday, so we're not going to read it again, but we have this list of the fruits that, and we've already covered a good chunk of them in the prior lessons, and then the last lesson on this, we covered two more, joy and peace, and this one we're talking about gentleness or kindness and meekness. Gentleness, when we take and we talk about a definition of gentleness, the quality of being kind, tender or mild-mannered, softness of action or effect, a lightness. So just talking about like a standard dictionary definition of this and trying to apply it to ourselves. You know, when we talk about gentle, we think about handling a baby gentle, you know, and then making sure that we handle certain things, we don't break it, like a glass jar or something, and you handle it with a light touch. You know, that's what we talk about, handling it with like a light touch. you know, being able to sort of caress it so we don't break it or mess it up in some shape or form. And that's really what the ideal of coming across here. And notice it says a quality of being, a quality of being tender, a quality of being mild-mannered, or a quality of being, you know, or having softness of action, all right, or effect. That has to come across in how we interact with one another, how we treat one another, how we talk to one another, how we react to one another. You know, sometimes it's easy when we have time to think about how to say something, to say it properly with gentleness. But sometimes when we react in a level that's not so gentle. But notice there the ideal of gentleness is this softness of action. I've made this point in the past. Anytime we've had to have like a bigger discussion with an individual or a couple of individuals, I usually try to get James to go with me. And there's always been a good reason for that. And he's very knowledgeable, but he's on the gentle side of things compared to me. I'm a little more boisterous at times. And anytime we've had those discussions, you know, like usually I'm the one taking off, leading, bringing it up, whatever, and working through it. And I can feel myself sort of getting wound up, and I just know that's when I say, James, you got anything to say on that? And then I just stop, because I just know that James himself will keep the situation calm, and he'll calm me back down. It'll give me a moment to think and rethink, you know, gentleness, you know, softness of action, softness of effect. That's the ideal of having an understanding that the other person needs that. Now, there's times for a tough hand. You know, we was mentioned that in the Bible class. John brought it up in his discussion that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he brought things in a more gentle way. And then there's times toward the end where he just bluntly has to say, you're wrong in this. You need to fix it. There's times for both. The ideal of gentleness, though, we need to add this fruit unto ourselves. The ideal of being able to talk, to handle, to discuss, to react in a proper manner. You know, in a more gentle manner. Now, that doesn't mean to be walked all over and run over because you're gentle, but it means that you understand the other individual's needs in that. In Strong's, there's two words in the Greek for this, and we look up in Strong's. Each is used once. 1932, epikeia, if I get that right, it's a suitableness, equity, mildness, clemency, and gentleness. Now, I am not a big word guy myself. You know, let me teach you some math, but I had to look clemency up, and I've got it here. It means mercy, leniency, mildness, and forbearance. All right, so we start thinking about that with the upper definitions that we have, and it's the ideal, you know, because it is talking about of our own being, because we're adding this gentleness to ourself, our own being. Us being, or the actions that come from us, the words that come from us, need to be of a suitable nature. I mean, the ideal of suitable even for the situation, one of equity or equality, you know, one thinking that I'm not better than you. A lot of times when we're not so gentle with someone, the reason we're not is because we think we're better than someone, smarter than someone. We talk down to people because we think they're lower than us. Then definitely, you know, the ideal of clemency, you know, having mercy, leniency, forbearance, you know, not just, okay, you sin, too bad, out of luck, get out of here. No, it's the ideal. I've been there myself. You know, I have sinned. I have brought shame upon God. I understand the situation you're in. You know, and even when they're maybe not willing to change, the ideal of forbearing and discussing, still showing love and compassion and kindness. You know, and not just saying, okay, too bad, I'm done dealing with you. You know, that's not showing mercy or leniency. One of the first parts of this lesson when we start looking at verses is on the gentleness and mildness of God. We're going to look at that. And then from that, we can pattern what we need to add to ourselves. But think on that with clemency. Think on the ideal of mercy, leniency, mildness, and forbearance from God. And like I said, we're going to talk about that. The other word is 5544. Chersotes, excellence in character, gentleness, good, kind. So, you know, this is the ideal of gentleness. If we are the right kind of person, you know, the ideal of the way we would demonstrate to others the right kind of life, That's really just excellence in character. You know, we've been talking about adding, building, applying, and we've talked about it's a growth process. That, you know, you're not just going to take and say, boy, that was a good lesson Verlin had on gentleness, you know, even though it's the second time. Great lesson on gentleness. I've got it this time. And walk out of here and say, check mark, gentleness is all done. I'm gentle. It's not going to happen that way. It's ideal of you looking internally at yourself, and you work on this, you fix this, you build off of this, and it shines forth. That's the excellence in character that shines forth when you can talk to people in a gentle manner, you can treat people in a gentle manner, and then do so in a manner likened to God and the way He does it. But, you know, just the ideal of being good and kind, you know, gentleness or kindness. You know, if we just had more kindness in this world, we would get rid of a whole lot of problems. You know, we talk about in the news and the media and everything else, this big old problem, that big old problem. All the big problems stem from very little problems, like just not showing kindness, not having, you know, discipline in the home, you know, not talking kind to one another, not having any compassion or love for one another. Being kind, this gentleness we must add, just kindness, showing kindness to somebody. Meekness, you know, meek in and of itself. I think we just talk about meek or being meek. Mild, patient, long-suffering, that's just meek, you know. It's the fact or condition of being meek. All right, and the meek is being mild, so it's a fact or condition of being mild, patient, long-suffering, or having submissiveness. All right, so when we start thinking of meek, you know, a lot of times somebody thinks, oh, they're a very meek individual, you know. You know, you can really get them to do whatever you want. They're not going to fight you on it. You know, that's not really the ideal of submissiveness. The ideal of meek is the understanding of your own place, knowing your own place, and then being submissive to the right, and that would be to God. You know, meekness unto God, showing a meek, humble, you know, spirit. And that transfers to others, because if we know our place with God, I'm the created, I'm the sinner, He is the creator, He's the one that blesses, He's the one that's made the way, then I'll show that unto others. They are the same as I am. I am no different than they are. He loves me, He loves them. I need to help them to take and have the same blessings He bestows upon me. Let me teach, let me instruct, let me help, let me encourage. And then we're showing meekness as well. We're mild, we're patient, we're long-suffering. 42:36 in Strong's, praeotes, it's a gentleness, humble, humility, meekness. You know, that's all the words for the Greek word for this. And I know we've already got gentleness. That's why they went together great. That's why I put them together. But, you know, even what we say is meekness. But we got humble and humility. To be humble is having or showing a modest or low esteem of one's own importance. So let me take that back to submissiveness. All right, you know, the ideal of factor condition of being meek and having submissiveness. All right, again, that's the ideal of I'm not number one. I understand my place in this world. I understand who created me. I understand that I was the sinner. I understand what God has done for me. I understand what He's done for everybody else. And I'm willing to help them get to heaven also. You know, a lot of times when we throw these words out, and that's the whole reason for these lessons, and James made this point the other day, the whole reason for us to look at these words is we throw these words out all the time, but we don't really know what they mean. And how are we ever able to apply them to ourselves if we don't know what they mean, or at least mean in the proper context? I know John had said the other day in our Bible class, you got to use biblical terms, biblical ways. You can't take a biblical term and then go out to the world and say, okay, how do you use it? And we'll apply it that way. You know, when we start talking about gentleness and kindness and meekness, we need to make sure we use it according to the way the men used it when they wrote this, the way the Holy Spirit led these men to write them in this manner. 42:40, there's another word for meekness. Prautes, P-R-A-U-T-E-S. And if anybody's looked these up behind me, there's a lot of other symbols that I just can't get typed in on this. So I just get the letters for you. But it's mildness and humility. Once again, it's the ideal of not being boisterous, not being the one that needs to be at the front, foremost, in the spotlight. You know, we're just not that individual. You know, we talk about like Diotrephes wanting the preeminence. Yeah, Diotrephes could not have this gentle, meek, kind spirit because he wanted to be at the forefront of everything, and he's holding others back for himself. So we start talking about, you know, what not to be like. We got to definitely talk about what to be like, and that's God. I want to talk about the gentleness and meekness of God before we look at verses to ourselves on this. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, and we actually read this one last week. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Now Paul's talking about himself, and he's talking about, you know, in presence, you know, he's not really that great. You know, we talked about him in the past where he's been stoned to death. His physical appearance probably is not the best. You know, he's lacking in some physical abilities, whatever the thorn in the flesh is that he has to deal with on a constant basis. He talks about, you know, not being able to write, whether that's from damage, from being stoned or being beat. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. And, you know, when he gets someone to pen these letters for him, in most cases, you know, he takes and he uses this bold language. But notice at the beginning, I, Paul, myself, beseech you. All right, so he's saying, you know, I myself am beseeching you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. In the same sense as what I'm using this lesson today, you know, Paul's saying, you know, I understand the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and I, in the same manner, am writing unto you or sending this or sending or saying this unto you. But that's the point I was making when we go back to, like, mercy, leniency, you know, forbearance, long-suffering, compassion, love. These are the things that God shows unto us all. And we want that. I know when I come to stand at the bar on high that we talk about, you know, talking about judgment, and I'm before God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the books are open, and all the things that I've been a part of in my life, good and bad, and the Lord looks down on me, I want mercy and leniency, kindness, compassion, and love. But we desire that. But how often are we willing to show that to others? Whether that's to our spouse, whether that's to our children, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, or just the random casual person we come upon, you know, like the waiter or waitress at a restaurant. You know, how good are we of just showing some leniency, a little bit of mercy, little kindness to someone that gets the order wrong, or they end up bringing us out a glass of water and there's a little spot of something on the glass and you blow up at them? Is it their fault the dishwasher didn't spray it off in the bag just right? I mean, we'll go after somebody, but then we'll want the gentleness and meekness of Christ. But being Christ-like, we're not willing to be meek and gentle when we handle other people, including sometimes even maybe our own self. Sometimes we're too hard on our own selves. I've grown to understand that. You know, we can beat ourselves up to the point that we can't dig out of our own hole we made for ourselves. Psalms 18:35, still talking about God. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. You know, when you think of like gentleness, meekness, and someone that's gentle and meek, do you see that individual as being the one that made someone else great? But God, in his absolute magnitude of everything about God, his greatness in the utmost, his gentleness hath made the writer great. And you know, it's talking about the ideal of protection and care, this ideal of mercy, forbearance. You know, you take like David and all the things that he did, parts of his life, sin that he was in, and he's talking about this. He's talking about the way God handled him. Think about that. When you think about your own life and the way God has handled you, the worst of your life, the best of your life. Think of the blessings. Think of the forgiveness. Think of all of that. And think about the gentleness and meekness of God. Do you show others that? Or when they're down, do you stomp on them a little harder? Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is Jesus. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See here, it's a beg, a plead here. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You know why? Because I will handle you properly. I am meek and lowly. I will treat you right. I have salvation for you, but you've got to take it upon yourself to want to learn, to want to change, to accept that yoke. But you should want to do that because I am meek and lowly in heart. He loves us. He cares for us. He shows us leniency. He's long-suffering, and he forbears for us all. But again, when we're talking about looking at God as our perfect example of this, do we show that to everybody else? Matthew 21 and 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto me meek, and sitting upon an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. So here, talking about Jesus as he's going to take and have his, what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, coming up, you know, on that last week before his death, his crucifixion, and, you know, he's fulfilling the prophecies, and here it's being, you know, spouted out, you know, proclaimed, you know, behold, thy king cometh to thee meek, sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. You know, notice though, it doesn't say, behold thy king in all his grandeur and wonder and excellence and power and might. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, behold thy king who cometh to thee meek. You know, we talked about the ideal of like the ass, the donkey, you know, that we're talking about here. You know, the ideal of that compared to like what most kings would come in on, like this big, powerful stallion. You know, the donkey or you know, or these animals like this, they were mostly beasts of burden. You know, it was more of a shameful thing to be caught riding on that as a lowlier status. But that's also what's being shown here when we start thinking of ourselves and comparing ourselves to what God shows of his own self. You know, here Jesus, God on earth, willing to ride on the donkey, to be led in as he was, to take and come to be that lamb, that slaughter for each of us. Did he think too highly of himself? No. No, if he did, he'd have never come down here. He'd have never lowered himself down to our state. He would not have took all the abuse, the verbal abuse, the physical abuse. He would have not have took any of that for us. But the ideal of being meek, you know, the ideal that I've put off already, the ideal of not setting oneself up as greater than you are, God, Christ being God, has the right to set himself at the top because that is his place. But he humbled himself, he lowered himself for each and every one of us. But sometimes it's really, really hard for us to knock ourselves down a few notches to take care of somebody else and put them above our own self. Are we meek and gentle like God? 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that we all should come to repentance. You know, here's just the ideal of that forbearance again, as part of this gentleness and meekness, just willing to deal with us, willing to put up with us, willing to give us that one more day to make one more change. How often are we unwilling to help somebody else when they stumble more than one time over the same thing? You know, and sometimes that's your own self, you know, trying to get over a sin, get past a sin, you know, grow, to mature, to gain in knowledge. And you just say, I don't know what that is. You know, and you beat yourself up. God's giving you time. Give yourself time. Give other people time. Work with them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. But the last thing you need to do is put yourself at the top of the list of who's most important in this life. Let's talk about some verses with ourselves now. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. There's a reason that it's a great price in the sight of God. Because when we can get to the point in our lives that we have this meek and quiet spirit, then we have grown. We have added unto ourselves these things that we must add, and we have got closer to being Christ-like. which means not only are we more pleasing in ourselves, but our words, our actions, we are making a greater influence on others. We are creating better Christians around us because we are working with people better. We're treating them better. We're actually making influence on people in the world because of how we interact with them in the world. They understand that we're not a harsh, rough individual to deal with. And with that, they will see our great qualities and they'll want to become like us. Why do you think it's such a great prize with God? This meek and quiet spirit. And it also talks about the ornament. You know, when we talk ornament, we talk about this thing that's a decorative nature, right? This thing that we would want to add unto ourselves to make us better, to be better, to look better. You know, and then again, it's the great price. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I think there's a lot in that, consider thyself. I've thought about it quite a bit. You know, when we, you know, sometimes you read it real quick, you're thinking, all right, just keep a check on yourself, because you know, if you don't handle it right, you'll fall into sin. But I think it's a little deeper than that, considering thyself. I think it goes back to the point I was saying. Look at your own self. What has God done for you? What has He corrected for you? What kind of slate has He erased for you? So when you go to a brother that's at fault, think about the same situation. He has a slate that God is willing to erase. He has sins and marred problems in his life that God is willing to remove. How are you going to handle that individual? It says in a spirit of meekness. Remember, meekness again is the ideal of mercy, leniency, and forbearance. How do we handle one another? Psalms 25:9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. I think it's really hard for an individual that thinks too highly of themselves and not high enough of others, that are willing to want forgiveness but not willing to give forgiveness, that wants to be taken care of but not willing to help others, to not listen to God, to not accept His way, to not learn of Him, to not pattern oneself after Him. I think it's really easy for us to get so wrapped up in ourselves that all we can think of is, what do I want out of this? What do I think of this? How am I going to handle this? But the meek, He will guide. The meek, He will teach. But it does us no good for Him to guide and teach if we don't ever let it in. And if we don't have a meek spirit, meek as in the ideal of humbling ourselves and being humble for others, then all that guidance, all that teaching, it's not going to do a bit of good to us. Psalms 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek shall inherit the earth. When you think of that, you know, you're thinking inherit the earth. So if I'm an easygoing guy, I lower myself down, I treat people right, the money's just going to come piling in. The land, I get all this land, I get all these houses. You know, that's not what he's talking about, inherit the earth. You know, I mean, sometimes I think we get in our mind that kind of language is there. But, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. But it's not talking about the wealth of the physical. You know, it's talking about all the blessings that God bestows. God bestows His blessings on those that are willing to receive them and receive them properly. And even then, use them properly. You know, Brother Wayne was talking about, you know, our contribution this morning and the ideal of looking at everything God has blessed us with and then our mindset on giving back. And he's right, you know, so many people in this world, they pray for blessings. They pray that this hurricane will miss us. They pray about the bills getting paid. They pray about wanting better health. They pray about all these things that they want God to bless them with. But when it comes to pulling out their wallet and pulling out some money to give back to Him and His work, boy, they grow, you know, just stingy. You know, there's a 20. I put it back in there. That 5 looks better. You know, I got something else to spend that on. Bag of Cheetos after supper, you know. I mean, that's how people think, though. You know, we're so wrapped up in ourself that we don't even understand all the blessings that God has given us. And we'll definitely not share those blessings with others. And that is leading to my last lesson of this series. You know, when you're gaining and you're adding, and you're applying all these things to yourself. You're making yourself better. And that's what God wants. That's the ideal of being tried in the fire, to come out, you know, that silver that's been purified seven times. You know, that's that ideal of being something of great value to God, of usability to God. When we take and add these things to ourselves, we then truly can work efficiently and effectively in His kingdom the way He expects us to. And a lot of that work is not just on ourselves, but towards one another and those out in the world. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's the whole point I've been making, right? How we interact with one another, you know, do so in love, but with a lowliness of attitude, in a spirit of meekness, with longsuffering to one another. You know, that's the idea that we're not, you know, snippy with one another. You know, we're not quick-tempered with one another. And that, I think, you know, I know this is talking about within the body. You know, talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, handle each other properly, treat each other properly, help each other get to heaven, work with one another to get there. But this is also with those in the world. We will never influence somebody if our first contact with them is snippy and you treat them improperly, you talk down to them, you talk bad toward them. And that doesn't mean in like foul language or anything. That just means if you don't treat them like a human being, there is no way you'll ever influence them to hear another word out of your mouth. Same thing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll never be able to encourage them if all you've done in the past is tear down. You know, a house is built up. The church, one another, each of us members of that building, that dwelling, the building has to be built up. If all you're doing is tearing down, it can never be built up. You know, I used to love to build, still do. I love to build anything, but I always hated to tear something down. I worked for a man, he had more money than he ever needed. He would get 1 week, Verlin, we're going to build $300,000 worth of stuff. Okay, we're all on it. Build, 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 build. 6 months later, Verlin, you got any time? Yeah, I can make time for you. All right, get over there that morning. All that, we're tearing down. Well, ain't nothing wrong with it. No, I just got something else I want to do with it. And we would just tear down for weeks. I hated those weeks. I just felt defeated tearing down all that I put that time, effort, and blood into building. But anyway, it was paying the bills. But you know, when it comes to the body of Christ, we can't tear down. We can't take and go backwards. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That means we all have to grow in gentleness and meekness so we can show this kindness and love and long-suffering, forbearance, mercy, leniency with one another. Now, that does not mean we let sin abide in our midst. There's whole passages different on that. But it does give us the idea of how to handle that sin, to bring a brother or sister out of the sin and back into the body. That's building up. 1 Timothy 6 and 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You know, there's a whole list of things we've already talked about in our prior lessons. And last one there is follow after meekness. That's a quality we got to have. Just as much as we got to have love, just as much as we got to have godliness, patience, faith, and righteousness we already talked about. We've got to be the kind of individual that can influence others properly. James 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who is a wise man? Who has knowledge? The one that with his conversation with meekness. You know, you can find people in this world that has a great amount of knowledge. But to be honest, they don't have great wisdom in how to use it. And a part of that is just how they bring it across. You know, I think preachers have to fight that battle. I think, you know, good, strong Bible class teachers have to fight that battle. It is real easy for you to get wrapped up in what God has blessed you with, the knowledge that He's given you, the time and the patience for you to study, to misuse the Word of God, to take and use it as a bludgeon weapon to beat people down instead of build people up. But the one with the right kind of wisdom and knowledge will show that with meekness. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. Now we quote that all the time, right? That's great. We say that all the time. Be ready. Be ready to give everybody an answer, all right, of the hope that is in you. But how do you give that hope? With meekness and fear. You know, I know a lot of brethren. Boy, they see someone, they want to tell somebody something, boy, they come down on them with hell fire. That's not teaching with meekness. That's not teaching in a level of fear. Why do we teach in fear? That's not to say we bring fear on somebody. No, that means we have fear enough within ourselves of what we can become or what we once were without the salvation, that when we teach others, we bring it with meekness and fear. Yeah, definitely be ready to give that answer. Be willing to teach everybody that comes across what it takes to become a child of God. But teach it in a way of understanding, knowing that they were lost just as you were lost, and one day you may be lost again and need someone to come seek you out. Zephaniah 2 and 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which hath wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now I'm taking this a little out of context, because this is not coming up here on captivity and everything else, but the principle still applies. Seek the Lord, ye that are meek. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. Why? Because if you're the right kind of person, the Lord will cover you. He will protect you in the day of his anger. That's why I said, come judgment day, I hope that the Lord definitely shows me mercy and leniency. But think about us not being meek and not showing others that. He's not going to cover us up. No, because you're not meek. You're not righteous. So I'm going to let the wrath come upon you. I never knew you. Depart from me. Psalms 149 and 4, last verse. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Again, the idea that we have to add this fruit to us, because it's a thing of beauty. It's a thing of great prize unto God. And he will save us if we become this individual. Again, these are not just suggestions. These are things that said, add unto yourself and be diligent about it. We need to understand that the Lord expects us to grow. He expects us to mature. He expects us to get to a point that we are fully mature and can do the work he expects us to do. In conclusion, meek and gentle does not mean weak and pushover. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we're weak in the Word of God. No, we just talked about wisdom and having great wisdom. You know, it doesn't mean we're weak in the Word. Doesn't mean we're weak in stature. You know, I'm a big old tough guy, but I can still be meek and gentle and still be strong as an ox and still can whoop anybody coming and going. Doesn't mean I will. Doesn't mean I should. But that doesn't mean that I'm meek and gentle or weak in a pushover. Meek and gentle means I have control of myself. It means I have control of my thoughts, control of my words, control of my actions, because I understand my place in this universe, and I understand I am no better than any other sinner in this world. God has sent his Son for all of us, and I need everybody to get to heaven as much as I need to get to heaven. Meek and gentle means that you are caring, kind, generous, slow to anger, and watching out for the benefit of others. That's what meek and gentle means. The gentleness and meekness of God is demonstrated by their love for us, the sacrifice made for us, the long suffering and forbearance that is still in place for us. We must each grow closer to being God-like in all of our characteristics. Because like I said, our series is coming to an end. And the last one, if y'all remember it, back to the first one, we need to grow to the point that we can help others. You know, and the point that I made was bear one another, pack one another, carry one another. Because remember, the whole series is standing on your own 2 feet. And we started as a babe. You know, the ideal of needing the milk, being packed around, and we get to crawl, and we get to stand and walk. We start getting where we can stand on our own 2 feet, run. Well, when we get mature, that should be when we can reach down and lift somebody up. Or when somebody says hello, we can put them on our back and pack them for a period of time and get them back on their own 2 feet. And that's the level of maturity we have to get to. And that'll be the next lesson on this series. This morning, if you have not become a child of God, then you definitely got to go back and start with that milk that we talked about, to hear, the believe, the repent, the confess, and the be baptized. If you know exactly what it takes, you're willing to make that lifelong commitment, then make that this morning. Don't wait. Don't put it off. The Lord's waiting and forbearing with you. Make it right. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you turn back into the world. You have forsaked Him. You have left Him. You've gone back into sin. If it's a private thing, fix it. He is willing to forgive. He is going to show mercy and leniency to you. But you have to be willing to repent and turn from those sins to live differently. If it's something of a public nature, make it known publicly so the church can pray for you, show that you have repented of those things, and let us ask forgiveness on your behalf. This morning, we're happy to help in either case. If you'll come forward, as together we stand and sing.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages run. 'Tis